Good morning. We are honored to be here. What a privilege and what a joy to get to speak to you just for a few minutes. How many of you wanted to go to with JJ, Mr. JJ, with the 12-year-olds? Okay, well, stay here with us. And thank you, Brian and Krista. Wasn't that wonderful? Let's thank them one more time. They've got their little 18-month-old, and I'm not a prophet or the son of a prophet, but I predict their little 18-month-old is going to be a musician or a singer. Well, I have been waiting for this for over 2 years. Over 2 years, I was invited to come speak here, and we were ready last year, and you know what happened? COVID-19. So everything was canceled. So Memorial Day weekend, Spruce Lake has been on our hearts. We've been praying for these days, and we've been praying for you, praying that God would move amongst us. A couple of themes. One is the armor of God, as you can see here on the stage, the armor of God. And we read Ephesians 6:11. We're going to try to memorize that as one of our themes. And also kind of the theme of the background of this camp, watch God work. That's been a theme here for 58 years. Watch God work. And that can happen also this weekend as we draw near to God. And sometimes we wonder, you know, should I be doing these things? Is God the one who does these things? And we believe that it's a partnership. God puts these ideas in our minds and hearts, and he asks us to go do them. He uses you. He's drawing you closer to himself. He wants to use you in the world. Whenever I come to a place like this, I sometimes wish, why don't we just live here? You know, why don't we, some of you do, I think you have your campers here year-round, but why don't we just make this some kind of commune where we're all Christians, we're all believers, we're all walking with Christ, and we have to avoid the evil world out there. And I fall into that trap. But God wants us to come up here to the mountaintop and get renewed and get refreshed and renew our minds and renew our hearts and then go out into the world and do ministry. So it's not that we come up here to live and get away from the world, but it's that we come up here to get re-energized and refreshed and renewed, and God challenges us to go back into the world and do his work in the world. So we have these themes, the armor of God. When we walk with Jesus Christ, it is spiritual warfare. And we have these weapons that we put on. But the only offensive weapon is God's word. In the whole list of all the weapons, the only offensive weapon is God's word. So we teach and preach and stand on God's word. We memorize God's word. We hold God's word dear to our hearts. And then this weekend theme of offering, giving an offering, offering our mind, offering our body, offering our reputations, offering our partnerships, offering our gift. Well, I grew up in the world of education. I have the bachelor's degree, I have the master's degree, I have the doctor degree. My father was a principal of an elementary school, and my mother was a substitute teacher. Bless her heart. You know how they treat substitute teachers, right? So I grew up in the world of education. And my wife, Pam, could you stand up and wave at everybody? She's a nurse practitioner. She's a neonatal nurse practitioner. Do you know what that is? The neonatal nurse practitioner, they take care of the little babies, the one-pound baby that you can hold in your hand, the little bitty babies that are sick. So she's at the famous Parkland Hospital in downtown Dallas. So she is all about the world of medicine and in worlds of the hospitals. So let me have you raise your hands. How many of you are involved in education? You're a teacher, you've worked at a school, your family was, oh, look at all the hands, Pam. All these educators, praise God for you. And how many of you have some interaction with medicine? You've worked at a hospital, or you work as a tech, or you work, oh, quite a few too. Okay, good. So talk to me about education, and talk to Pam about hospitals and nursing. She wants to meet you and talk to you about that. And we've been married by God's grace 30 years. So we're celebrating 30 years of marriage, and we have 5 children, and we have 2 grandchildren. And my wife is obsessed with our 2 grandkids. They would be here right now if our oldest daughter would have let her. And we came up here from Texas, where it is dry. And the whole time we've been here, it's so green here. How did you do this? Everything is so green, and there's so many trees. I can't believe how many trees there are. In fact, we live next to a town in Texas, and the name of the town is Lone Oak. Yeah, that's the name of the whole town. Lone Oak. And so you can imagine, when we pull into the property, we're like, wow, look at this place. It's so green, and there's so many trees. And then I realize it's because of the rain. You get more rain here than we get in Texas. It's so dry in Texas, though the trees have been whistling for the dogs. That's how dry it is in Texas. But we're talking about leaving a legacy. And look at these families. Some of you, how many of you have been coming here more than 10 years? Let me see your hand. Look at all these people. More than 10 years. Anybody been coming here for more than 20 years? Don't be shy. Come on. Where are my Bruce Lakers? Anybody been coming here for more than 30 years? More than 30 years. Look in the back. Okay. And anybody been coming here for 40 years? 40 years, Paul and others. 40 years. What is wrong with you people? 40 years you've been coming here. What a blessing. And is that about it? I mean, I can't imagine there's been someone here 50 years. Anybody here 50? There is somebody? Yeah. Oh, right here. 50. You've been coming here for 50 years. Wow. Let's get to know them and ask them, what was it like when they first got here, you know? There must have this was Lone Oak when they first got here, you know? There was one. And so we're talking about walking with Christ, leaving a legacy. You see all the pictures of the families, the grandparents, the parents, the kids. And that's God's plan, leaving a legacy, pouring yourself out in service, being a mom or a dad or an uncle or an aunt or a grandparent. And family is God's idea. God is the one who came up with the idea of family. And as you know, the world is trying to redefine family, but we're going to hold to the scriptural view of family. And families are not perfect. Can I get an amen? Some of you said that a little too loudly. Okay, families are not perfect. We have struggles because we're human. And if we're human, we have problems. We have struggles. There's no such thing as perfect family. But we can be healthy. We can be effective. So we want to work on being an effective father or an effective mom. And I'm so excited about For the Fatherless because that's my passion, is working with dads. I really love working with dads, ministering to fathers. And talking about the father being the servant leader in the home. There's a toxic view of masculinity out there, as you know. Toxic masculinity. How many of you have heard about that as a hot topic? Toxic masculinity. Men who are evil or bad, or bad dads or bad husbands. That's toxic masculinity. But there can be a Christ-centered masculinity. There can be a way that God raises up men to be loving and kind and strong in the faith and loving their wives well, loving their kids well. So these are opposites. Toxic masculinity is the way the world sees masculinity, but there can be a Christ-centered masculinity where a man lays down his life for his family. So I have here a Bible study that's just come out. My timing was incredible. I wrote this. It came out right when COVID hit, okay? So this is for the newest dad, the newest dad. I know we have an 18-month-old. Is anybody here have a dad that's younger than 18 months old? Anybody here that has become a dad and their child is less than 18 months old? We want to find the newest dad. I see some pointing. How old? How old?
My third child is 8 weeks old.
How many?
My third child is 8 weeks old.
Come on up here. Come on up here. This is not pre-planned. This goes to Johnny. All right.
I don't know if that's fair. Thank you.
You got it. 8 weeks old. How's that going?
I'm here.
Huh? You're here. He's clothed and in his right mind, as far as we can tell. All right, now, here's what happens. We come to Christ. And in a room like this, probably most of us in here are believers. Most of us in here have come to Christ. We've put our faith in Jesus Christ. We've trusted Jesus Christ to forgive us from all of our sins. However, in a room this size, there still may be a handful of you who have yet to do that, or you're investigating Christianity, so we'll talk about that. But then I think a lot of us ask, now what? You know, once we come to Christ, once we have all of our sins forgiven, once we're moved from the family of darkness to the family of light, once we're adopted into God's family, then what do? Do we just sit around and wait for heaven? Do we just sit and soak? What do? And this scripture passage that we're going to look at helps us answer that question. We're talking about laying down our life as an offering, and that involves giving God our mind and our body, laying down your life as an offering. So if you have a copy of the scriptures, turn with me to Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at verse 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, and we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. I urge you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. The word of the Lord. Now, we're going to look at three things briefly, three reasons why we should lay down our life like this, why we can allow God to use us as an offering. Number one is because of the compassion of God. Because of the compassion of God, He loves you. Did you know that you have a father who's perfect? You go, no, you don't know my dad. Okay, you don't know my dad. All earthly fathers are flawed. Some of you didn't have a father. Some of you had a father figure. Maybe you had a coach or an uncle or an older man who took an interest in your life. But all of us probably had some type of father figure or an adopted father or a father in the home. But that father was flawed. Okay, he had weaknesses. I have 5 kids. My kids will tell you that I'm flawed. But there is a perfect father. And he sits on the throne. You don't have to apply for that. That job's already taken. And this passage is about laying down your life, laying down your mind and your body as an offering to your perfect father who loves you perfectly. Let me put it this way. Nothing you can do can make God love you more. Let that sink in this morning. Nothing you can do can make your perfect Heavenly Father love you more than He loves you right now. And on the flip side of that, nothing you can do can make God love you less. I mean, really, let that sink in. Because if you're anything like me, I get into a performance mindset where I think, God, come on, I'm trying to serve you. God, will you love me more if I serve you better? Look what I've done for you. Look how I've laid down my life for you. You should love me more, God. And then I come back to these scriptures. I come back to the Bible and I realize that God loves me fully. God loves me in Jesus Christ perfectly. So that's our starting point this morning. Nothing you can do can make God love you more. And nothing you can do can make God love you less. This verse says, present your body. Now, it starts out, I, the Apostle Paul. Now, who's this guy? I mean, where does he get the right to say, I urge you to do this? He's an apostle. That means he saw Jesus Christ face to face. You say, well, the disciples saw Jesus Christ face to face, but when did the Apostle Paul see Jesus Christ face to face? You remember? On the road to Damascus, he was taken up into the heavens and Jesus interacted with him. He said, Paul, why are you opposing me? Why are you killing Christians? Why are you trying to stop what I'm doing in the world? And Paul saw the light. Just like you and I, when we saw the light, we realized that God wanted to use us. God wants to work His life through your life. And so I means the Apostle Paul, I. And it says, come alongside, call strongly, urge, beseech. Paul says, I urge you to do this. I strongly encourage you to do this. Now, this is not about salvation. Chapters 1 through 11 were about salvation. The word therefore, now, you guys are good Bible students, right? Well, come on, that was weak. This is Spruce Lake, Memorial Day, weekend retreat. You guys are good Bible students, right? All right, whenever it says therefore, it's what? What is it there for? Okay, whenever you see the word therefore, you ask what? What is it there for? All right, let's try that. Whenever you see the word therefore, you ask?
What is it there for?
Okay, we see the word right at the beginning of 12:1, therefore. So if the whole passage starts with that, we have to go back a little bit. Therefore, in other words, therefore, since you've come to Christ. Chapters 1 through 11 are about how you get to the Father. And all the rest, 12 through 16, are about now that you've come to the Father, what should you do with your life? Okay, chapter 1 through 11, how do you get to the Father? And chapter 12 through 16, now what do we do? Now that our lives have been changed, what should we do? And so therefore, I, the Apostle Paul, strongly urge you. How many of you have a copy that says, I beseech you? King James Version. He's saying, like, I strongly advise you to live this way. Since you have come to Christ, through the means of, that means by God's grace, by God's compassion, since God loves you so much, you should give your body as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice. Now, this would have been really unusual for those first readers to hear this. They were very well acquainted with the sacrificial system. They knew about laying down an offering, a lamb that was unblemished. They would lay it on the altar. The priest would light that fire, and that aroma would go up to God as an offering. So they knew about a dead sacrifice. They knew about a burnt offering. But this language would have been so unusual. When they heard this, their ears would have went, a living sacrifice? What does that mean? We know about the dead sacrifice. What's a living sacrifice? And can you imagine the picture of a living sacrifice on the altar? And he's saying, you do that. You yourself, you get on the altar. Now, maybe you've heard this before, but what's the biggest problem with a living sacrifice? It keeps climbing off the altar, right? We want to get on the altar. We want to say, God, I'll give you anything. God, I want to give you my whole life. I want you to change my mind. I want you to take my body. And then what happens? 2 days later, it's Friday night, and we're upset, we're angry, we're off the altar. We've climbed off the altar. The problem with being a living sacrifice and laying our life down on the altar is that we keep climbing off. Life happens. The world happens. 18 months olds happen. The terrible twos. Have you heard about the terrible twos? And someone said that turns into the thrilling threes, okay? These kids are tough, right? It's hard raising kids. You're probably exhausted. But living sacrifice means you lay yourself on the altar. I like that word altar. We had a wedding this last weekend. Our son Evan got married just this last weekend. And they walked down the altar. And that couple went to the pastor for wedding instructions. And he said, you know, we'll just do the regular wedding, the one I always do. We'll do the aisle, then we'll do the altar, and then we'll do the hymn. And the couple said, that sounds about right. We'll do the aisle, then we'll do the altar, then we'll do the hymn. And the bride spoke up quick and said, oh, that's my plan also. That's the plan I'm going to do. I'll alter him. I'll alter him. And isn't that what we do? Well, this guy, he's a piece of work, but once we get married, I'll change him. And that's God's work. That's God's work. We can't change other people. You can't change another person. That's God's work. Only God can do that. But we start by getting on the altar. We present our bodies as a living sacrifice. And that would have been so unusual to hear, a living sacrifice. Present. It's our offering. We give it to God. Now, we give our God our body. Okay? What does that mean? How many of you grew up singing a little song like this? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. You remember that? It went on and on and on for about 62 verses. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you touch. Oh, be careful, little feet. And they used to sing that in Sunday school when I was a little kid. And by the end, I was kind of freaked out. You know, it was kind of like, can I do anything? Like, he's watching me all the time. Can I touch anything? Can I see anything? Can I hear? Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful. But it's true. When we give God our body, we give him everything. The Hebrew concept of the body is the whole person. We give God our eyes, everything we look at. We give God our hands, everything we touch. We give God our feet, everywhere we go. God doesn't want just a part of you. You say, well, I've given God my heart. I mean, the rest is mine. Or, hey, I give God Sunday morning, but the rest of the week's mine. God wants all of you. The whole person, the mind, the body, the soul, the hands, the feet, the eyes, it's radical. Living for Jesus is radical. He wants your whole body. I can do good with giving God my whole body until it's Saturday night. And I go into the refrigerator and I see that whole gallon of ice cream. And I think, God, I want the whole gallon. Or I'm supposed to be running. You know, I'm supposed to be jogging. And then the alarm clock goes off at 5 a.m. And then I don't want to jog. Why? Because I have this disconnect between my mind and my heart, between my mind and my body. My mind says, go, go, you should run. And my body says, no, no, you should lay in bed. This is the Christian life. This is the struggle. So it's almost a daily presentation. Good morning, Lord. I give you my body. I give you my hands, my feet, my eyes. Because the word is morph. You know what that word means, morph? How many of you remember the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers? Nobody? One guy. Okay, good. My kids would love the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, because when you're a little kid, you want to be the man. You want to be the big, what did they say? Power Rangers, transform! And they would change into these fighting people. There were also these little cars called Transformers. How many of you remember Transformers? You have these little cars, but then you put them together and it becomes a big, strong fighting machine. That's the root word, morphao, conform, transform. That God wants to take our bodies and transform them into something he can use. He's doing that with you. It's imperceptible. You don't even notice it. I mean, look around the room. This is who God's using to do his work in the world. Look around the room. No, I mean literally, look at each other. Look around the room. Right? We're a motley crew, right? Look at these. God is using you. He's using you to do his work in the world. We come up here to Spruce Lake to get refreshed and renewed, and we worship. And then we go back out into the world, and God says, I want to use you to reach that person. I want to use you to help heal that hurt. I want to use you to take a meal to that person. I want to use you to go visit that person in prison. And you go, God, I can't do that. And he says, I'll use you. I'll use your body. I'll use your mind. So be transformed. My wife loves planting flowers. She plants a lot of beautiful flowers. And some of them make it, but what? Some of them don't. And she's been struggling with her tulips. We go through some parts of Dallas, and there's beautiful tulips. And you got to plan ahead for the tulips, right? You get the bulb, and you put them in the refrigerator. And I don't know what happens. You put them in the ground, and some magic happens. It's a long process. And in the spring, I've forgotten all about them. I'm mowing the yard. I'm raking. And I see the first little leaf. And I'm like, what in the? Is that the tulips? The tulips are coming up. They change from some ugly, gnarly bulb to this beautiful flower. And she's been fighting the rabbits. Oh, the rabbits. Do you know about the rabbits? They eat the tulips. And she's been putting down deer spray. We've been thinking about putting up netting. And that's the Christian life. You were an ugly bulb. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. You were far from God. And he's morphing you. He's changing you. He's transforming you into all that he wants you to be. He's drawing you closer to himself all the time. Even this weekend, he's drawing you. And this word age is a very interesting word, age. Do not be conformed to this world. It means age. Do not be conformed to this lifetime. but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't live only for this life. Think about living for the next life. That's what the word means. I used to think the world meant the people, the wrong ways of living. You know, there's three enemies in the Christian life: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And all three of those conspire to mess up our life. And whenever I thought about the world, I always thought, oh, you mean like the TV shows or the movies or the the things we're not supposed to do. You know, we're not supposed to drink, we're not supposed to chew, we're not supposed to go with girls who do. And all those things are bad. So stay away from the world. But that's not what this word is. The word is age. So it means don't always be thinking about this age. Be living for the next age. What's the next age going to be like? Perfection. No more sin. No more taxes. No more loss. We're going to be living in the new created earth where everything's going to be perfect. There's going to be tulips, and the rabbits aren't going to eat the tulips. There's going to be perfection. God's recreating and renewing the whole earth. So don't always, Paul says here, don't always be thinking about this life. Don't always be thinking about this age. Be thinking about the next age. In fact, I'm kind of happy that we didn't even have a TV in our room. You know, I went into my room and I was like, wow, there's no TV. That's kind of two thumbs up. Because I get so inundated with breaking news. Breaking news. You know, the programmers tell us that television, now they have commercials every 7 minutes. That's about our attention span. They have programmed us that when we watch television all day, we're just addicted to breaking news. Oh, breaking news. Quiet, I got to hear what's happening. And you know what's going to happen? I'm not going to have no television all weekend. I'm kind of hyped up about that. I'm kind of looking forward to that. No TV all weekend. And I think when I get back on that airplane in Philadelphia and we fly back to Dallas, I think the world will still be spinning. Do you? I think God will still be large and in charge. I think Jesus will still be on the throne, even though I miss some breaking news. What am I saying? Some of us need to practice some digital detox. Digital detox. Just put your phone down. Just stop watching so much TV. Just put down the laptop. You know, walk away from the laptop. Just put down the computer and walk away. It's okay, because God wants to renew your mind. He wants to use worship music. He wants to use his word. He wants to use good preaching. Just renewing your mind with God's word, thinking the thoughts of God. That's how we do it. Digital detox. You know what some of the young people are doing now at Dallas Seminary, some of the students? This is pretty cool. They go to a restaurant, and you know what it looks like when a group of students are at a restaurant, right? There's eight or nine at a big table. They're all like this. Hey, how did it go? How was your dinner? So, some students picked up this thing where they take their cell phone and they put it in the middle of the table. Have you seen this? Some of you young people have seen it. You take your cell phone and you put it in the middle of the table. And all eight people stack their cell phones on the table. There's eight cell phones in the middle of the table. And they say, we're not even going to look at our cell phone during the whole dinner. We're not even going to check our cell phone during the whole dinner. Wow, they're actually talking to each other. It's this new thing. They're communicating, and they're enjoying the dinner. And then halfway through the dinner, someone's cell phone goes off. And what they say is, whoever reaches over and touches their cell phone first, they have to pay for the whole dinner. I love this. I don't know who thought of this, but this is the coolest thing ever. Whoever grabs their cell phone first has to pay for the whole dinner. So halfway through the meal, the cell phone goes off. And all of them are like, is that my phone? Who? Oh, that's your phone. And then she's, who's calling me? Should I answer it? And they're all going, oh, yeah, answer. Go ahead. I think that's your phone. It's probably a very important message. Is that Instagram? I got to see how many likes I have. And they're all tempted to grab the cell phone, but then they realize if I'm the first one to grab the cell phone, I have to pay for the, you get the picture. Maybe you and I need to do that. Maybe we just need a weekend away like this where we connect with God. I love Spruce Lake because they've set aside this ground as holy ground. Holy ground where you can renew your mind, where you can give God your body, your mind, your soul, your spirit. Be transformed by God. Not conformed to this world, but transformed. Don't you want to do that? I know I want to do that. I want God to transform me. And we need to pray that right now. God, change me. I'm willing. I'm open. I'm open to go wherever in the world. I'll go to Kenya. I'll go to Philly. I'll go to New Jersey. Okay, maybe I won't go to New Jersey. I'll go to, Jim was telling me parts of New Jersey are tough. So, will you do that? Are you and I becoming more and more a living sacrifice? Where we're saying, God, I'll do anything you want me to do. I'll go anywhere you want me to go. I'll say anything you want me to say. Are you giving God your body? Are you giving God your mind? And let's lean into that theme. Watch God work. When you give God your mind, who knows what he'll do with it? When you give God your body, stand back and watch God work. He's ready to live his life through you. And the theme of the Ephesians spiritual warfare is stand. Stand. That's, you take the whole passage and it's summarized by this word, stand. You stand against that evil. You stand in Jesus Christ. You stand in the truth. No matter what the world's going through, you stand. Well, our life is an offering. Our life is an offering. We're going to close with an amazing song by Andrew Peterson as our musicians come up. I'm going to read and you'll respond, we do. Okay, the first paragraph is we do. Are you ready? Do you feel the world is broken? Do you feel the shadows deepen? But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? Do you wish that you could see it all made new? All right, you're going to answer this next paragraph with, it is. Is all creation groaning? Is a new creation coming? Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah who conquered the grave. He was David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all the blessing and the honor and the glory? Is he worthy of all this? He is. You'll answer the final paragraph. He does. Does the Father truly love us? Does the Spirit move among us? And does Jesus, our Messiah, hold forever those he loves? Does our God intend to dwell again with us?